Welcome to the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. If you're listening live on the radio, well, it's a Sunday, and good Sunday morning to you. If you're listening via podcast later on, well, whatever day of it is, I hope it's a blessed day for you. I'm Troy Skinner. I am the host of the Faith Debate and also the pastor of Household of Faith in Christ, online at householdoffaithinchrist.com. Joined this week, as per usual, by Daniel Rasby, Imran Rasby, and David Forsey. All four of us are pastors, actually. And you can find the Rasbys and the church they're involved with and the ministries that they do through one of their parachurch organizations that works alongside of their church. It's called Conquered by Love Ministries, online at conqueredbylove.org. And the only way to get in touch with David is to get in touch with me. So if you don't like me, you can't get in touch with David. So you got to pretend you like me so you can get through to the guy you really like, and I'll put you in touch with David Forsey. And we're all, our churches are all house churches, and they all happen to be in and around Frederick County. So if you're hearing this on the radio, then you're within striking distance of where our churches are, and we encourage you to visit us at some point if you're so inclined. So last year, it was early in the year, and there was word in the news that there was going to be this ad run in the Super Bowl about a He Gets Us campaign. And Daniel Rasby said, "Ooh, we got to talk about that on the Faith Debate." And I said, "Yeah, we'll get around to it, but we got a bunch of boring shows to get out of the way first. We got to read through a bunch of these statements, you know, about biblical inerrancy and hermeneutics and the statement on Christian nationalism and all that sort of stuff. We got to finish what we start, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to finish what we start around here, by golly." And so here we are a year later, and my instincts were right, because I remember saying to Daniel, I said, "Look, this campaign's not going away. If anything, the controversy surrounding it will probably ramp up between now and the time we get around to addressing it." And sure enough, they ran another couple of ads in this year's Super Bowl, and it stirred up even more of a hornet's nest response. And by my count, there are 31 videos that they have on their website, the He Gets Us website. And maybe, I didn't count them up, but somewhere in the ballpark of half of them are designed to be used on television or as ads on streaming services, because they're 15, 30, or 60 seconds long. Those are ad lengths. Then they have some others that are longer, like 2.5, 4.5, 6 minutes, whatever, that are longer form, highly produced, but interview-based kinds of things. And so we're going to finally weigh in on some of this. And the reason we're weighing in isn't to pile on, although that could be fun. Maybe we'll do some of that. But also, the church is in trouble. And part of the reason that the church, globally speaking, the church is having some trouble not having a strong enough sense of spiritual discernment to recognize problems early enough to see that it's a problem, but understand why it's a problem and how to respond to it. So our goal here is to work through some of this stuff that the He Gets Us campaign is putting out there, and to help you to understand, listener, why pastors are concerned about this, and why, if you're a Christian, you should be concerned about it. Even if you're not a Christian, you can understand why Christians would be concerned about this, and you can understand our point of view on these things. So we're going to work through these. There's a couple we're going to work through rather specifically, and then more broadly we'll talk about the campaign overall and maybe mention some of the others without maybe listening to them. But we're going to try to listen to some of them. And it's been a long time since we've had to worry about such things on this show. Oh, my goodness. Did I just get locked out? All right. Say something. Do a dance. Sing a song.
Well, I wanted to pipe in and say, I think what the church is the problem right now is they're trying to be culturally relevant to a fallen culture as opposed to be an alternative to the current fallen culture. And that's really what's causing a lot of the problems.
So there's a good setup. And I was about to say, it's been a long time since we've interacted with something that wasn't produced by us, and we had to go online to pull it into the show so we react. It's been a long time since we've done that on this show, and since we've done that, the whole technical setup has changed in the studio. And for half a second, I thought I was locked out of the screen I needed to get to. But
yeah, they invented the internet.
Wise guy. All right, so this first one might be familiar because it's the one that's most recently causing the hubbubaloo. This was featured in the Super Bowl this past year, and it's called Foot Washing is the name of this particular ad. It's, I think, a 60-second ad, but we're going to be starting and stopping it as we go so we can respond to the different stuff as we see. It's only below this up so we can all in the studio see what we're talking about, and I'm going to hit play, and we'll go from there. So, So this music, by the way, I'm going to pause it right away, right off the bat. This music is perhaps familiar to some because it was a very big hit back in the 80s, back in 1988, In Excess. Had a huge hit called Never Tear Us Apart. This is a cover version of that song, so if the music sounds familiar, that's why. I already should have stopped. So the first image we saw was the picture of a teen son, apparently, washing the feet of his father at the dining room table. I don't think there was anything particularly controversial about that one, so they start off innocuous. Anything you want to say about that first image that was on there for like 5 seconds?
No, just the... We'll see what the message they're building to is.
Yeah, so that was the first one, and now we'll play a little music here. And now, so this next one is a kneeling police officer washing the feet of a black teenager who's wearing a muscle shirt kind of thing in an alley that appears to be kind of in the seedy part of town. And the thing that's striking to me is the image of the police officer that jumps out at me.
Right?
Because he's kneeling down on both knees.
Yeah, you're going to find as the pictures, as we go through the different pictures, they become increasingly woke. They're being very intentional with which specific ethnic groups are portrayed washing which other groups' feet, and which intersectional foot washing is going on.
Okay,
and it's never in the opposite direction of woke. Sometimes it's neutral, and sometimes it's very wokeified, depending on the picture. But it's never in the opposite direction.
Now, I don't know that, because I've watched this a few times, and I'm not sure that I picked up the idea that it's consistently getting more and more woke. But I'll be curious to see if I pick up on that now. I don't disagree, by the way. There's a lot of woke.
I don't know if it was a trend in one direction, but it
generally speaking,
was.
You felt like it was a gathering storm.
It's definitely consistently. How do I say it? So the person whose feet are being washed, right, is typically considered a lesser sort of person as far as normal society goes,
An oppressed person.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Right.
Yeah, certainly.
Something that fits within the intersectionality oppression scales of the woke movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so now I'm going to hit this so we can get to the next image.
Don't ask me.
Okay, so this next one appears to be like in a high school. Students are milling around the school hallway. There's a trophy case in the background. There's a cheerleader type who appears to be pouring water. You know, I'm assuming she's supposed to be kind of the popular girl anyway, pouring water on the feet of a girl who, if you look closely, you can see the girl had to remove her combat boots to have the foot washing experience. So she's definitely kind of an outcast type of a person with short red hair.
Yes. I think maybe potentially supposed to be in the LGBT spectrum.
Yeah, possibly like maybe a lesbian or identifying as a different sex, possibly, although it seems pretty clear it's likely a female. But yeah, definitely on the outcast, right? Like when I was going to high school, this would have been somebody wearing a lot of black, you know, a lot of goth. Goth really isn't in as a thing to do now. Now it's all, you know, weird colored hair and that sort of thing. And mixed and matched clothing, like the clothes don't really go together, the patterns and the colors and stuff.
Sure.
Okay, so an outcast person, the oppressed person. Then the next one here is going to be out west at dusk. There's a white elderly cowboy or rancher type person kneeling at a wash basin to wash the feet of an older like Indian, Native American, the kind of a cowboy Indian kind of theme going on here. And in today's parlance, the Native Americans would be considered an oppressed class, right? So far, Daniel's theme is holding up, this idea that there's a theme of building wokeism as we go. And then the fifth image, this is the one that got a lot of attention. This is protesters in the background appearing to wrap up a day of sign holding outside of a child sacrifice center.
Yes.
And if you look closely,
otherwise known as an abortion clinic.
Yeah, a child killing mill. If you look close, you see that one of the signs reads "Save the Unborn." So clearly, there are protesters trying to save babies' lives. In the foreground, there's a middle-aged woman who's washing the feet of a teen who had removed her shoes and set down a paper bag. I noticed, I thought it was a paper bag. Maybe it's not. I don't know. It looked like I saw a paper bag earlier. Anyway, I think the idea here is that she was inside this building behind them, and the building behind them has a sign on it that reads Family Planning Clinic.
Right. So it appears somebody's washing the feet of someone who either just killed or is about to kill her baby.
And can you figure out any importance to the prominent motel sign in the background? I can't figure out what that's like. It's like they almost went out of their way to draw your attention to motel. Like, is that supposed to mean something?
Is that where the baby was conceived?
Maybe. Maybe that's the idea. I don't know. Or maybe it's the idea that the protesters are from out of town and detached, and they're not there for the to support. I don't know what there had to be some reason why they prominently displayed that. Now, image number 6 is an unkempt kitchen. Has a significant number of liquor bottles scattered around. Several of them are empty. One lays on its side next to an ashtray loaded with a bunch of cigarettes. And in the center of the room on the floor, two women. And the older of the two appears to be maybe a drunk or an addict of some sort.
Yeah.
Her feet are being washed by the younger woman. I don't know if it's supposed to be her daughter or just somebody who cares about her. I don't know.
I get friend from it, I think, or just the idea of somebody trying to help her. Because they don't really look alike.
All right. So do we feel like this is continue to build a woke, like, feel sorry for the addict, I guess?
Right? Maybe. I mean, this one may be less woke than the last one, for sure. So you're right. It's not building to a climax with the wokeness, but all of the pictures are at best neutral on the intersectional hierarchy.
And they definitely are on one side, it seems to me, of the political spectrum at least, right?
Not just
theologically left, but...
Yeah,
politically
at best, they're neutral in the intersectional hierarchy, and at worst, they're very woke.
So now, this next one is a picture of a man who works on an oil rig, it would appear. He's washing the feet of an apparent environmental activist, because you can see a sign that she has set on the ground, and it reads, "Clean air now." So this is like the bad guy who's poisoning our air is washing the clean of the woman who's trying to get him to come to his senses. That's the idea in this one, I think.
Yes.
Which, I'm confused about what they're trying to portray, since, you know, particularly right in scripture, the foot washing starts with Jesus being the one to wash his disciples' feet. So, you know, is this the righteous person washing the feet of the sinners in all of these? I don't think that's what, you know.
David. I mean, it's obvious they're saying that the privileged person is bending down to wash the feet of the unprivileged. And Jesus was privileged with not having any sin in his life. And so all these people are privileged either in some way or the other.
Deity privilege instead of white privilege. Or
oh, man.
But I was going to say, actually, we'll get to their message here on foot washing, but the first example of foot washing was not actually Jesus washing his disciples' feet. It was some sinner lady washing his feet.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I pick up on the theme here, at least the first couple of times. I think it's the kind of thing that as you watch it more and more, you pick up different ideas of what they might be trying to say. So in that sense, it's actually good art, right? Because it really calls to mind a whole bunch of different impressions and ideas, like what are they meaning to communicate here? And I think we might come up with 2, 3, 4 different ideas, and they
all
might all be true.
Bad. And they might all be bad.
And so far, they mostly seem to be all bad. The one, if I want to give them a benefit of the doubt, picking up on what David was saying about it seems like it's righteous people or whatever, they may be trying to give the point that, look, those who understand the truth, that are rooted in the scriptures and the Bible, and they understand the importance they have a servant's heart, are going to step out and humbly serve and take care of those who are oppressed as the world sees it. It might be the positive way of looking at this, but that has the potential for being a backlash, because then those who are oppressed are like, oh, you think you're so good, like you have all these privileged, great, like people who know the truth are taking care of the poor, you know, colored people, right? You know, people with different colored skin. And so it could have a backlash, but I'm not so sure I want to give them all that benefit of the doubt, because I'm not sure that's what's going on in this agenda. But anyway, ready to go to the next one?
Yes.
All right, so our next image, which is image number 8, I guess. There's a Latino, it looks to be me anyway, a Latino woman who's standing next to a bus, apparently it seems to me the idea here is that she and a bunch of others that are pictured here disembarked recently.
Yeah, this is a DeSantis bus or an Abbott bus.
Yeah, yeah, right. And there's a trash bag that's next to this woman, seemingly, I think the impression here is that it's holding all of her worldly possessions. So I think the idea is that she's a migrant maybe of some kind, whether she's an illegal immigrant or not, I don't know. And there's what would appear to be the stereotypical suburban white woman washing her feet. Like, you know, she's the 10 years ago, you would have called her a soccer mom.
Right.
You know, so this picks up about that same theme that we've been talking about, right?
And all right. Unlike some of the other pictures, the person who's being washed does not actually appear all that happy or pleased to be received.
Yeah, she got her arms. She's very, very defensive. Well, she's. I'm looking closer now. It looks like her arms are crossed and she's being standoffish, she's holding a baby.
Okay, so maybe that's why.
Yeah.
At least she didn't kill this baby. The last lady killed her baby.
Yeah, and her pants are all dirty and stuff. So the idea is maybe that, you know, she's at least had a rough life. Possibly homeless, but with the bus there, makes it feel like she was brought somewhere and dropped off, like you said, a DeSantis bus kind of an idea, right. Or an Abbott bus or something. But anyway, so now the next one is going to be image number 9. This one is two husbands who are looking on as their wives are seated or kneeled in the front yard of what appears to be like a middle-class home. One couple is of, I would say, European descent. The other looks to be Middle Eastern descent, possibly Muslim, because there's a head covering.
I think there's no doubt it's intended to be a Muslim family.
Right. The woman is having her feet washed. She's wearing this. Yeah.
There's plenty of Christian women that cover their heads, but when you have it in a national ad like this, in that specific type of head covering, they're intending it. You to imagine that this is a Muslim woman.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting. I can't quite make it out for sure, but what would appear to be the white woman's white husband is looking on, and I'm not sure he's looking pleased. You know, his posture and the conk of his head makes it look like, what are you doing there, woman?
Right.
I could be wrong, but I don't know. But yeah, this is the idea of, I guess, a quote-unquote Christian washing the feet of a quote-unquote Muslim, right? I don't know if the Muslims are considered to be oppressed in today's world, but they are people of a minority religion.
And remember, after October 7th, the Biden administration came out and said...
Anyone who, you know, the left tends to say, are you blank phobic?
Right. Well, they said we need to combat Islamophobia after October
7th. Right. Okay.
So that's the...
All right. And now there's a couple more images. This is number 10 on the list of 12 images that they give us. There's a whole slew of protesters out there screaming at each other. They're holding signs. On one side, if you look closely, you see the signs. They say, silence hate and shut him up. And on the other side, you've got signs that read, no censorship and let him speak. And in the middle of all of this, there's a black woman who's washing the feet of maybe an Asian or Hispanic woman or maybe Native American. It's hard to tell exactly what ethnicity is supposed to be represented there. So in the middle of all this hate, there's somebody.
Is the first example of a minority group washing the feet.
Yeah.
That I've seen in so far.
Yeah, so this is the one that doesn't seem to fit the overall narrative. So is this just to throw us off the scent?
Maybe.
Like this is a little bit of.
I wonder who's trying to be shut up or not be shut up. It doesn't make that clear.
Yeah,
I think we're supposed to be left guessing.
Yeah, and there's people of different colors and different sexes, men and women on both sides. Although it appears there's more women on the one side of the screen than the other. Like it's a lot of men on the left hand side of the screen, and a lot of women on the right. So I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe it's just in the midst of the this is happening very much in the midst of a chaotic kind of situation.
Now, this is the sinister part of me, but if you wanted to try to connect this to something in real life, given the ethnic makeup choice that they've made here, it was going back about, I don't know how many years now, probably 4 years ago-ish or something. There was the, was it Covington High School? The young man was on the steps, because they're seated on steps here in this picture on the ad.
Right.
And there was the Native American guy who was banging his drum or whatever, and there was the
right.
Nate Sandman, maybe was his name, I think, mm-hmm. Something like, or
Nicholas.
Nate,
Nicholas Sandman.
Sandman, and Nate something or other was the Native American guy. I forget his full name, but anyway, they had a bit of a standoff, and the white kid was rude as far as the world was concerned. But here we've got a black teen apparently
who's doing the right thing by the Native American person by not standing off and being a jerk. I'm wondering, and that was in the midst of a lot of chaos and protesting, people on both sides too.
I think we're kind of meant to be left guessing, and settle with the main thrust of the story is that Jesus was all about foot washing. Somehow, this was his central message.
Yeah, we're gonna get there. So this next one is seated on the front porch of a rustic looking home are two older men, an old hound dog there. Men are each seated in chairs. So this is a different kind of a visual than we've seen before. And they each have one foot in a bucket of water. One of the men is white. The other one is black. But they nobody's washing anybody's feet. They're both just sitting there side by side with their feet in the bucket. So I'm not sure what this is supposed to mean exactly, other than the whites and the blacks can get along.
Yeah, they're kind of both washing each other's feet.
It's a pre-wash soak.
It's a pre-wash soak.
The bucket of there's a pitcher of water. Is that a pitcher of water over
over on the right hand corner?
The black gentleman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it seems like
maybe he washed the white man's feet.
Maybe. I mean, it seems like the initiating elements are over on his side.
Yeah, that could be. And call me crazy for bringing this one up, but
yeah, both of their shoes are off. Both of them have.
But it appears to me that the dog's fur is the body and head are a lighter color than the front paws, which makes me wonder if the idea is that the dog has his paws in that bucket of water at one point too.
Yep.
I think so.
Maybe
there's
so.
There's a lot of hidden messages. It really is.
Well, dogs are people too, you know what I'm saying? So, and then the very last image, this one got a lot of attention too. This is, we're at the beach. There's a priest or, you know, pastor of some kind. You can tell this based upon his clerical collar, and he's got a cross hanging around his neck. And, he's a middle-aged white guy, and he's down on both knees washing the feet of, I think we're supposed to guess a certain way, but I'll just describe it as a rather effeminate-looking young black man.
Yep.
And you can take that to mean what you want of who in the society that's supposed to represent. Right. The thing that's interesting here is the religious guy, he's barefoot. So, like, is he expecting to have his feet washed then too, or I'm not sure?
That's been a theme also, like in a lot of the images, both parties.
I hadn't picked up on that. So yeah. Okay, so they're just being consistent maybe in the campaign, and I'm going to let this play out so I can describe what happens at the very end. Jesus didn't teach hate; he washed feet. And then it says he gets us, all of us, and then they say Jesus.
Jesus, the us
was a different color, right? To make that jump out.
Yep.
So Jesus, and then they give the website kind of a thing. So we got through that one. Any thoughts on that particular ad as we wrap up this particular episode of the Faith Debate?
They said Jesus didn't teach hate, and I could agree with that statement depending on what you meant by it, but knowing this ad campaign and some of the other things they said, I'm pretty sure I don't agree with what they're meaning.
Well, yeah, from a certain perspective, you would say that, well, actually, he did.
He
right?
He
to hate your sin.
Repent.
Yeah, repent.
That was what he taught, repent. Stop sinning. And whenever he, and it says Jesus didn't baptize people, his disciples baptized people, but whenever there was baptisms being done, which is a washing, that was to signify you're repenting from your lifestyle. And the foot washing that was done was either done to Jesus by this woman who had been a sinner, mm-hmm. or it was with Jesus. You know, where Jesus was washing his disciples' feet.
Yeah. And they were.
I mean, one of them was about to betray him, but they were all professing to be followers of Christ at the time, right? They were publicly acknowledging that they're living righteous lives.
And boy, I should know this off the top of my head, but I'm a little rusty. Had Judas already left the room?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, and one of the points that Jesus makes there is, unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me. And
right.
So,
yeah.
And then he does say, you know, and if I wash your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet.
Well, we're
This is talking about the followers of Jesus.
Well, there's more to be said about this campaign, and we're going to feature a different ad next time and have time to respond to other parts of this campaign as well. We'll continue that on next week's edition of The Faith Debate. Thank you to the RASVs, Imran and Daniel, and also to Mr. 4C David. I'm Troy Skinner. This is The Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. Find us online at householdoffaithinchrist.com or WFMD.com. Till next week, God bless.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.